Good morning. If you were in the auditorium class this morning and heard the teaching presented there and then listened to all the songs this morning during the song service, and then as we go into the lesson this morning, the sermon, it might seem like it's all tied together. And it is all tied together. We are looking at the Gospel of John. We are approaching it a little bit differently. We have noted that the Gospel of John contains major truth sermons. John is writing to produce faith, and a lot of what he is accomplishing will be contained in sermons that were presented by Jesus, which John records. Now, in our last lesson from the fifth chapter, we saw Jesus presenting himself as equal with God. And when Jesus said that he was equal with God, he did not mean that in some sort of an accommodative manner. He meant, here's God, here's man, and I'm right up here with God. And he did not back away from that claim. As a matter of fact, he even elaborated upon it and explained what it was that he meant. In John chapter 5, Jesus presents himself as the Son. He has a relationship with the Father that no one else had. All judgment was given to the Son so that all men would honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And then Jesus presented himself as the source of life, that is, spiritual life. And then finally, he's the source of life in that he is the one that will call forth the dead at the time of the resurrection. Now, this is Jesus. This is the one that we have been singing about this morning and listening about as we studied 1 Peter, and we are continuing to look at him as we go forward today. When you talk about somebody of whom you can say these things, equal with God, the Son, all judgment, honor the Son as the Father, it is obvious that you are talking about someone who has some pull. You are talking about someone who has some rank. You are talking about someone that, if he should require something of me, then I better be ready to give him what it is that he is requiring. And brethren, in John chapter 6, we are going to find something that Jesus requires from all of us. He requires it from me, and he requires it from you. And if you have a marker, please put it in John chapter 6. We are going almost nowhere except John chapter 6 today. Now, as is common in the Gospel of John, it starts out with a miracle. John chapter 6 will start out with the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has 5 loaves and 2 fish. He got them from a young boy. And with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he is going to miraculously feed 5,000 men plus women and children. And when Jesus does this, the ones that are fed are overcome by a fit of religious zeal. In John 6 and verse 14, therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Now we think about what it is that these people are wanting. They are just really worked up. He is the one that we are looking for. He is somebody that we want him to be king. We are going to make him king. And Jesus just ups and leaves them. He crosses the Sea of Galilee during the night, and they wake up the next day, and he's not there. In verse 24, so when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Well, they're following Jesus. Well, that's good, isn't it? I mean, isn't it a good thing to follow Jesus? I mean, if I am following him, should it really matter why I am following him? I've got the if down, so why should the why be important? A slogan we are familiar with, WWJD, what would Jesus do? We have made the observation before that maybe it ought to be WDJS. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus actually say? Now, what we are going to find out in John chapter 6 is that Jesus has something to say about people who are following him for the wrong reasons. Now, these people that are following after Jesus are really fired up with a lot of religious zeal. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." And they were going to come and make him king. Isn't that good? Isn't that a laudable attitude? Well, brethren, what we are going to find in John the 6th chapter, that it really wasn't all that much about Jesus. It was more about themselves than it was about Jesus. In verses 25 and 26, the next day when they have followed Jesus across the sea. In verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." All of this great enthusiasm, all of this great desire and effort to follow Jesus was because they wanted something for themselves. They were interested in loaves and fishes. It was all about the bread. And brethren, have you ever stopped to think about how hard these people were willing to work for more bread? For bread and for fishes? In verse 10, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. These were people who were willing to just sit down and wait, if you were talking about bread. Suddenly these people have patience. They will sit still and wait while Jesus serves the multitude, and they're not going anywhere. Look at the 11th verse. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. These are going to be people that fill up. They are going to eat until they are full. In verse 12, when they were filled, they said to his disciples, he said to the disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. When it's all done, they're going to see to it that they don't lose anything. Have you ever wondered why it was so important to pick up those fragments? Scraps of bread, scraps of fish, and we're going to pick up a bunch of fragments of that? Oh, this is a lesson in frugality. God wants his people to learn to be frugal. Let's think about that as the lesson goes on. They were willing to sit. They would eat till they have their fill. They did not lose anything. in verse 15, so Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, they were willing to take Jesus and make him a king. And they were willing to do this knowing that they would go head up against the Romans the minute that this would happen. And then in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." After Jesus left them, they got in the boat and chased him. They are continuing to seek him. And then finally in verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" Jesus says, "You need to believe in me." And they say, "Well, give us a reason to believe in you, Jesus." What do they really want? What are they asking for? Verse 31, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." It's back to the bread again. They just keep digging and digging and digging for what they really want. And it's all about the bread. How hard they work for bread. They would sit, they would fill up on it. They made sure they didn't lose anything. They've been making king if it would keep the bread coming. They would keep following after Jesus, and they would just keep digging for the bread. They were sold on bread. And they proved it. What a poor reason to follow Jesus. Brethren, what does Jesus want these people to see? There are two passages we're going to put together. Let's start in verse 28. "Therefore they said to him, 'What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.' So they said to him, 'What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?' 'Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat.' Jesus then said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world.' Then they said to him, 'Lord, always give us this bread.' Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst.'" Now, brethren, notice once again, they are still begging for bread. They want bread like the Israelites had manna. They want bread like Jesus gave it to them the day before. "Just provide me the bread." And Jesus says, "You missed it." Jesus says, "What it is really about is eternal life. Do not work for the bread which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life." It's not bread. It's eternal life. It is all about me. It's the bread from heaven as opposed to the bread that you are interested in. Now look at verse 48. "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. Sometimes people find this a very confusing passage. Just what exactly is it that Jesus is trying to say? He didn't try to say it, he said it. It's up to us to ascertain and determine what the message is. In verse 49, bread. I'm going to try to use this today. See if it works. Well, it's the top one. Here we go. Think of bread for a moment. Just plain old bread. Even if it's manna, it isn't going to do you that much good because you're still going to die. Verse 51, Jesus says, I am the true bread, the bread that came out of heaven. This is the bread you need to eat. On the one hand, they are really, really coming after the literal bread, and Jesus says, you're missing it. It ought to be about me. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. They didn't get it. In verse 52, the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Boy, are they thinking literally. They are definitely not into symbolism. And brethren, sometimes we miss it. That 53rd verse, I remember very young. Several times I heard people preaching about this passage and saying that this is an allusion to the Lord's Supper. Brethren, this is not an allusion to the Lord's Supper. It really has little to do with it. The truth is, you can take the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day and still not be doing what Jesus is telling us to do in this passage. Well, what is he telling us to do? If you try to put it in a way that was non-literal, what would you say? Back up to verse 41. Or if you wanted to take the symbol out of it, eat my flesh, drink my blood, what are we really getting at? In verse 41, therefore the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. What are we really talking about? We are talking about coming to Jesus, listening to Jesus, being drawn to Jesus, following after Jesus as opposed to following after bread. In verses 44 and 45, no one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. We use those two verses quite often. Usually when we use these verses, it's because we're talking about the way God draws, and usually it's connected with questions concerning the Holy Spirit. And we say, yes, God has to draw a man, but we are shown here it's by teaching and learning. And that's a true point, but let's not miss this. Those two verses are not so much about how God draws, it's what and who God draws us to. Not to literal bread, but rather to his son, Jesus. Jesus is saying, you all are just really hungry for bread, and you need to be really hungry for me and what it is that I can provide. And we'll illustrate by comparison just what this is really pointing at. Drop back to verse 26 and think about the multitude that chased him across the water. Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. These people are following him for bread. They might think that they are following him sincerely. They might think they are following him and it be a good thing for them to do. But truthfully, they are not that interested in Jesus or his teaching. They're interested in themselves. How do you know that? Because in verse 66, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. When he didn't say what they wanted to hear, when he didn't give them what they were looking for, they turned around and went away. Some were after the bread. On the other hand, let's look at verses 67 through 69. If you've never put these two groups in contrast to each other, it's a good thing to do. You have the multitude that is following because they're interested in bread. And then we come down to verse 67. So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. We look at that and we say, boy, that's the 12 at their finest hour. On this side of the crucifixion and resurrection, this is the 12 at their best. They get it. They understand it. Peter is the most solid. He is the most perceptive, and he states the great truth. There isn't anywhere else to go. This comparison here shows what it is that Jesus is looking for. On the one hand, in verse 26, you have people who seemingly seek after Jesus, but it's all about the bread. And then you come to the end and you see the disciples. They're not going anywhere, because to them, it's not about the bread. It's about the word of eternal life that Jesus has to offer. This sermon is about what and who we are committed to, and it's about the depth of the commitment that the Lord wants us to have. Let's not miss the major point of the sermon. We have been good at getting some of it. In verse 26, Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. We've been pretty good at getting that verse. They sought Jesus for the wrong reason. They sought him for food, and when it was just about the food, they weren't fed anymore. And we use this as a principle. You don't use bread to draw people, because we have seen that done so many times. We look in the religious world and we see that in many churches things are put out there to draw people in, and people think they are religious, think they are following because they're interested in the parties and the recreation and the plays and the fun and the camaraderie and the popularity. And sometimes, you know, if you talk about bread, essentially you're just talking about the things that appeal to the outer man, the carnal man. And sometimes it's something as simple as, I'll keep my family off my back. I am following Jesus to keep my family off my back. I'm following Jesus because it's kind of fun if you go out and have some kind of activity. We have seen a lot of that. And we also have noticed that oftentimes when things like this are removed, the people are committed no more deeply than the people that we read about in John chapter 6. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. They withdrew because they were following him for the wrong reason to begin with. And that does happen. It can't be all about the bread. How deep should my commitment be? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. The idea is that I come to Jesus. I pursue him. Now, is that a casual thing? Is that just some kind of casual commitment that I make? In Luke 14 and verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. A disciple is someone who has been taught and trained, someone who has heard and has learned and is coming to Jesus. A disciple is all in. A disciple puts nobody above Jesus, not mother, not father, not children. A disciple carries his cross. He bears whatever burden it is that he has to bear. This is a disciple. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. He eats and drinks and sleeps and thinks Jesus. That's what it's all about for the disciple. Sometimes we use this kind of terminology when we're talking about silly things. This guy eats and drinks football. What do we mean? He's all in. He eats and drinks golf. He eats and drinks his job. The disciple eats and drinks and sleeps and breathes Jesus. Is your commitment like that? Or is your commitment kind of like the commitment of these people in John chapter 6? I mean, they're following him. But it's all about the bread. How can I know? How can I know if I have the kind of commitment that Jesus wants me to have, or if I'm kind of like these people and it's some form of bread that I'm really interested in? Brethren, I believe that one of the reasons we record all that took place previous to this is these people really did show us about the kind of effort it takes when you're pursuing the bread from heaven. Think about the chart. The effort these people were putting into literal bread mirrors the kind of effort that we need to have when we are talking about Jesus, the bread of life. That's the commitment that we are looking for. We think about these people in their pursuit of bread. They were willing to come and they would sit there and wait. They would anticipate. They would linger. Sometimes we become so impatient. We become impatient with the preacher because I haven't looked at the clock yet. Have any of you looked at the clock yet? Okay. We become impatient with the preacher. We become impatient with the services. We become impatient with something as fundamental as picking up my Bible and reading it. We become impatient with prayers. It just kills us to sit and wait too long. Do you know what kind of commitment Jesus wants you to have? He wants you to be willing to sit and wait on Him like these people were willing to sit and wait for bread. And eat till you're full. Fill up. Do you ever fill up? Verses 44 and 45. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father. The disciple is interested in hearing and learning. He wants to hear sermons. He wants to sit in class. He wants to spend time reading his Bible. Years ago, I was talking to a young man, and he made the comment to me, he says, "Boy, lately I've really been hungry for the Word." You ever been hungry for the Word? If you don't have times in your life where you just really feel hungry for the Word, there is a problem. The problem is you are too into bread of some form and not the true bread that came from heaven. And we need to learn something about this idea of not losing anything that comes from Jesus. Why pick up the morsels? Why pick up pieces of fish? Pieces of bread, just a lesson in frugality, or is there a higher lesson? Anything that Jesus puts in my hand, anything given to me by Jesus, I'm not going to lose any of it. It's not just about loaves and fishes. If we think of the things that Jesus gives to us, any principle, any ordinance, any lesson, any attitude, anything He shows me to do, if it's from Him, I will not allow it to be lost. I will hang on to it. And I will make Him king. If it brings me up against Rome or the United States government or my mother or my father or my family, He is going to be king. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, that's what He's going to be. And I will keep seeking. If I have to go across a sea, I'll go. If I have to run around it, I will go. If I have to make sacrifices, so be it. I will seek Jesus like these people sought bread. And I will keep digging and digging and digging and digging. They kept digging after that bread, and they always brought it back to bread. We will always bring it back to Jesus. As a Christian, we eat and drink Jesus. We commit to Him as opposed to committing to the things of this world. We put the kind of effort into pursuing Jesus that these people put into the pursuit of bread. in verses 68 and 69, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." We're not going anywhere. You have the words of life. What is that word to us? Brethren, the word from Jesus is that we are to have this kind of a commitment to Him, but that starts with obedience to the gospel. In believing that God raised His Son from the dead enough to turn from our sins and confess our faith and then submit to baptism into Christ. The like figure unto even baptism doth also now save us. He washes away our sins and we lead a committed life. If you wonder sometimes as a Christian, do I have the kind of commitment that the Lord wants me to have? Look at the pattern. Are you willing to wait on Him, fill up on His Word, hang on to everything He gives us, make Him King in my heart, keep seeking Him, and keep digging because He is what I want? That's the commitment. If you're here this morning and you need to obey the gospel, or if you seek your brethren's prayers, would you come forward while we stand and sing?